evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. A vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. This vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when somebody on Facebook said, "Stop telling us not to post stuff that's wrong. Just because it's wrong doesn't mean that we can't enjoy ourselves, and just take your stupid logic somewhere else, all right? We're having fun. We're doing the Facebook the way that we want to, and the way that you want to is just wrong, because you're doing it your way." The podcast also kind of started up from the idea of the old adage, sometimes a journey is more impressive than the destination. I'm known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me on most major systems under that name. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, to a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, raised on Long Island. I now live outside of Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Joining on the round table tonight is Joe.
Good evening, folks. Joe here. Born in Chicago, Illinois, to a Roman Catholic family. Raised in Ohio, spent 8 years in the military, now living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as a graphic designer, illustrator, and atheist.
And Unrenowned Tech.
Hi, folks. Unrenowned Tech. Born in Maryland, raised in New York. Moved back to Maryland. Don't know why. currently a technician, as my name implies. And, I like to use logic.
That's a good starting off point right there. This is Sunday, September 21st. This is episode number 34. No special things on this one. I didn't bother with any kind of trying to figure it out or anything. And the title is "I'll Be There," which normally I would not. Yeah, normally I would not be using such a reference to a musical figure that I have huge questions about. But that's another thing for later. We're going to be talking about outreach, secular outreach, atheistic outreach, educational outreach, and what it means. Now, we do have an open invitation to the guys over at Ask an Atheist to join us this evening. They're doing their streamathon to raise money because they're changing from one radio station to another. And on behalf of the entirety of the guys here and gals, we wish them well. I've already myself donated $50 to their cause, which is kind of a bribe. But I don't know that we'll get Sam on or anybody else, but the invitation is there. And they've been running since noon West Coast time, so they're in their ninth hour, give or take, right about now. So who knows? Maybe they'll join us, maybe they won't. If they do, hey, cool, wonderful. If not, that's okay too. So we'll kind of talk through a lot of that stuff, and that's kind of where my timer is necessary right about now. I almost forgot about that. I need that timer. Where's my timer? Here's my timer. I need my...
It is time for Tribble's Troubles.
Yes, it is.
The tired tribulations of Tribble's Troubles.
Very much so. So, as Heath would commonly say, 5 minutes on the clock is what we're going to talk about.
No, he says 30 seconds on the clock.
Yes, but this is a whole other issue. Now, education is what we're going to be talking about tonight. That's part of what my little opening is about this time.
Uh-oh.
2 days during this week at my little one's middle school, they had a couple of interesting days. They had a couple of days, 2 days, as a matter of fact, where notes were found in the school of bomb threats. 2 different days, 2 different locations, 2 different notes. Now, the first time out, of course, it's easy enough to toss it aside as a, well, somebody apparently just wanted to get out of class or see how much mayhem they could cause, because as the expression goes, some men just want to watch the world burn. However, the second time, that's now causing a huge problem, and we're only into the first couple of weeks of school.
Did this happen around Wednesday or Thursday? Just curious. Because somebody on those days called in bomb threats down to the schools down here in Maryland.
Well, they weren't called in. They were actually written on notes that were left in bathrooms. So, whoever it is, whomever it is, I want you to know something. You've completely fucked over your life. Now, normally I wouldn't talk like that on a not 10 show, but I'm going to have to say it this way because there really is no other adjective to use. You have fucked over your life, and worse yet, you don't even know it yet. You had no way of conceptualizing just what level of wrong you've gone ahead and perpetrated. Yes, the Erie County Sheriff's Office is involved with it now to try and figure out what's going on, and they're going to do the best that they can to try to figure out who it is. And the canine units had to come through and sniff the school out to see if they could figure out what's going on. And you can sure bet the local FBI offices are going to be involved if they aren't already, because there is no way in hell in this day and age that they wouldn't be. That kind of stuff is incredibly, incredibly frowned upon, to put it nicely. And even though you are a minor, most likely, and yes, your record will very likely be expunged once you hit your age of majority, which in New York State is 16. 16. The likelihood is that somewhere along the way, your information will get out. Your family's name will be dragged. You, your friends, your accomplices, and anybody that had knowledge of this and didn't say anything about it, they're screwed. Your likelihood of getting into a college is immensely diminished. Your chances of getting a job are impacted in ways you could never conceive of up to this point. Back in the late 20th century, when I was in school, if somebody did this, it was generally accepted that it was not malicious. It was somebody trying to get out of a test, or somebody who really had a bad case of the cramps or PMS and didn't want to do their jogging in phys ed. But now, you don't even know the level of hell that you've subjected yourself to. Yourself, your family, you will never live it down. Because, as they say, once something is on the internet, it is never forgotten. Once something is in the news, it's on the internet. Your name will never be forgotten. You are screwed. And when all is said and done, you got nobody to blame but yourself. So now that we've got that out of the way, we're talking about... Hey, Boggy. Ed Bogey. Forgive me, I don't know how it's pronounced. And thank you for joining us, by the way. I saw you pop in there while I was talking, so thank you. So tonight, like I said, we're going to talk about secular outreach, atheistic outreach, educational outreach, trying to figure out what is the point of it all, because this actually is going to be laying into, this basically the groundwork for another topic that I want to cover in the near future. What I want to do in the near future is to get Sam Mulvey back from Ask an Atheist, along with Seth Andrews from The Thinking Atheist. I don't know about anybody else at this point, but I want to specifically get the two of them together at the same time in order to discuss how many voices should there be in the atheist push, in the atheist blogs, vlogcasts, podcasts, whatever. And that's kind of where I'm kind of laying groundwork here. And that's where I want to take this guy out from. So, Joe, I want to start with you for a second, because if anybody's going to collapse under their own weight first, it's going to be you tonight. Educationally, I want to go from that first. Educationally, you are still in school. You've got something, and granted, it's got nothing to do with any of this, but looking back a little ways on, especially on the high school level, I'm assuming that you didn't hear anything about stuff like the Secular Student Association, the SSA, or any kind of outreach like that. I would assume at the high school level, because it's still relatively new.
Not really.
At the college level, what have you seen that's been outreachy kind of thing, whether secular or educational or anything like that?
Something to understand, especially about my high school years, is that while I was born in Chicago, my folks divorced when I was very young, and I lived with my mother and just around the area of where her family was centered. And the town in which I was raised for the latter half of my childhood, if you can call it that, was a very small town in southern Ohio. And, you know, it's a very, very rural, peaceful town. But naturally, entirely Christian, actually. Not even almost, just entirely Christian. Very small town. So really, nobody really discussed religion all that much because, you know, it was assumed. So thankfully, I didn't really have a lot to deal with as far as that went. But now that I'm in college here in Pittsburgh, which college presents a whole lot of problems for somebody my age already, just because I'm looking at a decade more of life experience than every other student in there.
And very different, too.
Yes. But oddly enough, college, where, you know, and a liberal arts college at that, you'd think that that would be one of the more open-minded sort of locations. Unfortunately, it treats it a lot less like liberal arts and more like the science of visual communications, which it makes sense. That's kind of the point of the job. But as far as extracurricular programs go, I have seen nothing really from a skeptic or from a secular point of view. I have seen a lot of the Christian outreach groups throughout the school, and that's really all I've seen.
Yeah, somehow that doesn't totally surprise me. I mean, it tends to be the de facto, if you consider that, you know, for the U.S., roughly 75% of the populace is some Christian theoretically.
There's very...
That's assuming you lump all the variations together under one title.
Yeah, true. Well, that's the thing. As far as Christianity includes all of those little split-offs. When you say Christianity, we mean all of those as one whole.
Right.
You also have the Catholics and the Methodists and the Baptists, and the Protestants, the Judeo-Christian beliefs.
Right. Yes. Basically, if your holy book says the Bible, chances are you're a Christian.
If Jesus Christ is mentioned as anything more than a prophet at best, then you're a Christian.
Or a teacher, yeah, exactly. But
because, you know, I'm not going to say the Jews, that sounds terrible, but according to Hebrew and Islamic faith, they're not questioning whether or not Jesus Christ existed. They both acknowledge his existence. They just don't see him as the Son of God. They see him as a prophet. But yeah, as far as my school went, or as far as my school goes, there is nothing other than, you know, a handful of Christian groups there. I mean, there's stuff for, you know, outside of that realm, like, you know, the comic book group and all that stuff, but yeah, as far as outreach goes, no, that's it.
Which is kind of unfortunate. Tech, it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different for you, of course, being that you're not in a school, and you, best of my knowledge, you're not doing IT for a school, correct?
Correct.
Okay, we're not going to specify any past that, of course, but for growing up, I'm assuming also Secular Student Association, that kind of thing, never heard of, and I'm kind of wondering if for your child process, if you've heard anything like that. I'm guessing probably not, considering the stuff that we've talked about before.
I was in the public education system all my life, in terms of all the mandatory schooling I had to take. What I didn't see was in any of the public schools that I attended, I didn't see crosses on the hallway or prayers in school. There were key points in time where something really bad happened, and over the PA system, one principal or another principal might say, let's have a moment of silence. And you know what? I didn't think anything of it. Didn't bother me one bit. Of course, growing up as a kid, I believed in a God. I didn't believe in any particular religion being right. I was Jewish for a while because, well, that's what I was being brought up as. I was born again Christian for a while because, well, I started hanging out with Young Life and started to believe the stuff that they yammered on about until I really got into it. And then I said, wait a minute, hold on a second here. This doesn't make sense. But it took a while for that part to sink in. And reading the whole Bible kind of helps in that. I'll tell you, that Bible, that's the easiest way to turn a person into an atheist. Read the whole thing.
Either that or just kill them from straight out boredom.
Now, in high school, not in high school in New York, but high school in Virginia, they actually had a Christian youth group presence called Young Life. Some people know them, some people don't. And the Young Life activities took place after school hours. And while Young Life members who attended the same school tended to go outside and pray around the flagpole at lunchtime, they didn't do it in the school cafeteria. They didn't force anybody else to go. You know, it was just for the people who wanted to do it. You know, the school didn't say we couldn't, and they didn't say we could. They never gave their thoughts on it, you know. And they never publicly announced it. They never put up pamphlets about it or any of that kind of crap. It was very low-key. The sporting events didn't have, everybody say a prayer or any of that kind of crap. It was, you know, would everybody please stand for your nation's flag? You know, a little bit of patriotism. And all in all, everything was, there was nothing there that you would want to report to, like, the ACLU or the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Although, I don't think the FFRF existed back then, I'm not sure. And as for secular organizations, no group ever advertised being secular or atheism. There was nothing, anything that advertise that. There were groups for yearbook. There were groups for, hell, I started a club for Magic the Gathering.
Nice. You know?
And I knew that there were members of Young Life who wouldn't go near Magic the Gathering because they felt it was, you know, satanic. And then there were groups in Young Life who would, like myself at the time, played Magic the Gathering. We knew it was a game. We knew it was a card game. We knew it couldn't hurt us. And we just played. We didn't give a damn what people thought. We didn't care what religion they were. We just played. My understanding is that that club is actually still going strong. Yay! I actually did something.
Very cool.
College was... My college experiences were different in from many people, not from everybody, but from many people, in that the first few colleges I went to, I didn't live on a campus. There was no on-campus dormitory or anything like that. It was go to college, get education, go home, go to job, you know, or go to job, go to college, go home. There was just – it wasn't those kinds of campuses. And even when I did get to the point of where, okay, I'm at a out-of-school, out-of-state school living off campus in campus contracted housing, you know, no real big problems, no it's just I didn't encounter any of the stuff that you see on the news. I didn't live at any time in my life out in the Midwest where it's more prominent, you know. I didn't live in any of the counties of the areas that I in the, or cities in the in some of these states where they have a lot of religious affiliations, you know, being shoved down people's throats. It just didn't happen.
It works out good that way.
Yeah, I mean, there's benefit like that. And the school that my son's in right now, he's in a northern area of Pennsylvania that's very remote. And you would think when it comes to remoteness, oh, you know, religion's going to take foothold because that does commonly happen. Not here. Number one, first off, they don't even say the pledge of allegiance to the flag. Every morning, instead, what happens is a song is played over the PA system, and everybody sings a song. The songs are not religious. Now, there are some songs that are native to the area's history, and some of those are religious in nature, but they don't sing them to celebrate the religion. They sing them to celebrate the history of the area, and the area is very, very history rich. I knew because I grew up nearby, on the New York side of that area, and that history is indeed extremely rich, especially in terms of the Underground Railroad when they're, you know. Exactly. Yeah. So there is a lot of history, and the school constantly celebrates the history. I've seen several. I got to see their spring performance one year and their winter performance another year. Once again, it's all based on U.S. history as well as the history of the area. The little bit of religion that makes it into it is specific to the times and to the people and what they were going through at that time. They don't, they're not there encouraging people to believe that religion.
So if you'll forgive the, this is going to be one of the times where I really hate the way the English operates, to use the vernacular, it's more of coloring versus the outline, I guess, is probably the way that I want to describe it.
Right. They're trying to get the kids interested in that you're growing up in this area. This area has this kind of rich history to it, even though this area seems very quiet and you know, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of things going on. This area used to have a lot of things going on, and here's what it was about at that time. And to get them interested and to get them to be curious about it, they're actually teaching them curiosity and pride and a lot of other things. And I can get behind that. You know, I've actually sat down and talked to the music teacher and the art teachers and the principal and the counselor and many members of the faculty there at the school.
Good. And makes perfect sense. All right. We're going to continue on with this in just a couple of seconds. We've got a couple of questions that have come through on the Q&A. And by the way, guys, thank you very kindly for those. As we would normally do, we'll only use first names as we address you, so forgive me. And I tried to pronounce it before, and I do not know if you pronounce it as Bogey, as in Bogey and Bacall, or Boggy. I do not know. I'm going to go with Bogey because I think it sounds cooler, and it harkens back to, oh, Jesus, what the hell was that song? Key Largo. That was the name of the song.
I thought you were going to mention Humphrey Bogart, but okay.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Bogey was asking earlier, what kind of school was the treat posted to? The threat is threat. What you meant, obviously. Secular religious one. Public school here in New York. It is a public secular school. So fortunately, that's one thing that we don't have to concern ourselves over.
It was
I'm sorry.
It was a basic K-12 school, right?
In this case, it's a middle school, so it's 6 to 8.
Yeah, well, but it's still in the K-12 program, you know?
Right. The school district itself, right. Okay. Now, I've got two folks that are asking, Bogey and Will. We're both asking the same question. Is there a way of joining the Hangout? Yes, but. we kind of discussed this a little bit earlier. About inviting folks that we don't already know onto the show. Now, we are not... See, now you're killing me. I don't... You typed B-O-G-I is correct. So I don't know if that is Bo. Do it this way. Should it be Bo, B-O-H hyphen G-E-E for Bogey? As in, oh, look, there's something on the radar. Or if it should be Bah, B-A-H, Gee.
Or as in the case of Despicable Me, Boogie!
Or Bugai.
Or Bugatti, in which case, vroom, vroom. That's a Harley.
I don't really have a good feeling about this, Bogey.
Yeah, that's another one. Anyway, we are not going to be inviting folks on... generally speaking, if we don't already know you. However, one of the things that we were discussing was having basically allowing folks on one of the Power of 10 shows to come on. And I think that might not be such a bad idea, that we'll open up on a 10 show and we'll open it up, those people that do want to get an invite to come on with us for to ask a question and pitch up stuff, we will do that. Now, because this is a roundtable, and, you know, different schedules happen the way that they happen, some people are not able to show up. Dallin, as we see, has not been able to show. Witchy is probably not going to be showing for an extended period of time because Jeez, of work. Not exactly, but... So we may... get the opportunity of having folks come on a little bit more often. But for the time being, look forward to the Power of 10 show, which is every 10th episode. And
right, so 4 more episodes, 4 weeks from now would be the next Power of 10.
Approximately so, yes.
And so, the reason why we were thinking about this is because, you see, on a Power of 10 show, it's no holds barred on language. Uh-huh. You know, you want to say the bad words like, Sujin opened up with today, you know, that he weren't supposed to, but you did anyway.
And there was a reason.
There's plenty of forewarning to the crowd who's watching. But on a regular show where normally we try to keep the F word out of it completely, and the shits and dams to a 1-2 use minimum, and I just used up one of both, ha ha! Take that. It's easier to not have to worry about control. If you come on and you get too excited and you get out of control, oh crap, there goes the show. But if it's a 10 show, well, who cares? It's a 10 show. It got out of control. Ooh, better ratings.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, I meet you out. If it gets even worse than that, a kick and bend you. That's all. It's simple. But it's got to be something egregious at that point. You want to go ahead and you want to talk. So that people are understanding, if you decide that you would like to come on for a Power of 10 show and you want to argue a point, I got no problem with that. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the rest of the roundtable, all of us, would not have a problem with that until you start being an a-hole. You start being an a-hole, if you completely disregard Wheaton's rule, look it up, then we'll have issues. But if you want to come in to talk about stuff, hey, no worries.
And don't be afraid to. We're not professional argumentative people. You know, we don't do professional arguments like Matt Dillahunty or Smalley from Dogma Debate or any of those guys. You know, we don't have any of that kind of professionalism behind us. We have what's in our own heads, whether it's right or wrong, how in our opinions.
Yes, and that was entirely the reason for this. We are no Matt Dillahunty's. We are no Atheist Experience of Austin. We're just Joe Schmuck average users who have got things that we want to talk about, and that's where it all started from. So while this is going on,
the little one
just showed up. Hey, you. Excuse me 1 second over here.
She looks half asleep.
Yeah, actually she is. Hey, you. You need to go back to bed, huh? In the middle of the show. So you just want to wave and say goodnight?
Yeah.
Simple as all that. Love you. I love you. My apologies. She went to bed earlier and woke up, came down, and you know, normally I'd walk her back up, but you know, middle of the show, what are you gonna do? Okay, so
leave Joe and me in complete control.
No.
Damn it. It was worth a shot. No. Sorry, Joe. I tried, man.
It's alright. Anyway, so as far as that's concerned, we'll talk that one up a little bit further on a future, you know, future show. Probably next week or the week after. You will get full enough notice ahead of time about that one, and we'll be more than happy to have folks come on.
And you know, the Power of 10 shows, depending on the guests that come on and how they mesh, regardless of what side of the fence they're on, that could potentially lead to a more common visit.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. I mean, we've had some interesting guests on before, so we'll see what happens with that. All right. So, getting back to the subject at hand, as far as to outreach and education is concerned, there's a lot of different pieces about that, and I'm going to kind of turn this one on its head a little bit. Something that we had talked about on our show last night, which there's a radio stream that Joe and I are part of on Friday nights, and mentioned about the Jehovah's Witnesses having come and visited my house out here in the middle of nowhere.
Did you invite them in to mow your lawn?
Unfortunately, no. I had to get off to work, like, almost immediately.
They would have mowed it while you were away.
No, that's a whole other issue. But the problem of it was an older woman, could have been a grandmother, or older mother, younger grandmother, and a young girl who was on the doorstep who couldn't have been any much older than Tiny Trib. So, you know, like 9 years old. And wanted to come over to let us know about all the stuff that they've got available. And yes, they are with the J-Dubs, because I saw the Bible that they had, and I got a oh no, that was a different guy entirely from something else. But I got the word saying that, you know, you can check us out over at JW.com, something like that. Anyway.
Oh, jeez, they have a website too.
Well, yeah, but here's the problem that I had with it. Wait a minute. I'm getting it outside of where I'm going looking for. Yes, I didn't like the idea that you are putting a youngster, a very unprepared youngster, to the door where virtually anything could happen. Now, I'm a city boy. I will forever be a city boy, even though I grew up 45 miles outside of New York proper. But I grew up in an area where you locked your doors at night, all of them, your windows, your car doors, and that was just accepted. Whereas up where I am now, theoretically, you don't bother locking your door because, oh, yeah, I forgot. All right, whatever. You know, because you're far enough away from, I mean, hell, it's 15 minutes for me to get to a major highway to even start off with. So there is an opposite side of the outreach, which is what this kind of comes from. The door-to-door
proselytizing. I can't say it either.
Wow. Joe, your turn. Go ahead.
I quit.
Proselytization. Sure, we'll go with that one. Close enough. Anyway, the idea of going door to door and saying, here's the good news. Well, I mean, what's to prevent me to go door to door and saying, here, I'm with the Atheists of America, and this is our platform of all the stuff that we believe in? Yeah, it's blank, but, you know, whatever.
Oh, you missed a video. There was a gentleman on YouTube who got tired of the Jehovah's Witnesses constantly coming to his door, and apparently he lived in a neighborhood that had a very high population density of Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, joy.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a case of the same two coming around. Like, when I was growing up in New York, where I lived, it was pretty much the same group of people constantly coming around. So when we told them to go away and they came back, which they weren't supposed to do, we could, you know, we remind them, like, listen, we already told you once. You were here just a couple weeks ago. Go away. This was a case of constantly getting new people coming, knocking on his door. And he got so fed up with it, he got dressed up in a pair of black slacks and a white business shirt with a tie and started walking around trying to tell Jehovah's Witnesses, knocking on the door, trying to talk to them about atheism and logic and humanitarianism, and they were shutting the door in his face. They were walking away. They didn't want to hear it. There were a few that said, you know, I don't understand, you know, let's talk a little bit, and then they finally said, no, go away. But they basically did to him everything that he would do to them. They didn't like it. Some of them got very angry. Some of them told him, you know, he's godless, whatever. But it's real interesting. Just go search on YouTube for Atheist Goes Door to Door, some title like that. It was very funny. It was definitely very funny and eye-opening at the same time.
Why do I feel like this would be something that the Armored Skeptic would make a video on?
I would have really liked to have seen somebody from the Satanic Temple do the same thing right after him.
I'd like to see somebody from Solaire do the same thing.
From where?
Do you even praise the sun?
Oh, somebody who worships Ra, the sun god.
Not quite, but moving on.
Okay. Sure, we'll go with that. It would be interesting. It would be exceptionally interesting to see how something like that were to play out.
Damn you! Now I have George Carlin in my head again.
Praying to Danny DeVito, but worshiping the sun.
I worship the sun, but I don't pray to the sun. You know why? I don't want to presume on our friendship. It's not nice, and it's no way to treat a friend.
I'll keep that in mind. Anyway, you know, it could be worse. I mean, I could make this whole thing completely devolve into drama by saying, sure, you want to pray to the sun? That's fine. Celestia won't have any problem with you praying to her butt. How's that?
You know, I don't think outreach is a bad idea for atheism and humanism. Showing people that there are secular groups out there gives them the options that they might not know have existed, but definitely might have wanted. The humanist and atheist groups out there that are putting up road signs. You know, they're going through companies that are willing to put up those kinds of signs and say, hey, listen, you know, we're going to need to get insurance because when we put up these signs, they typically get destroyed, which is really sad when you think about it. How many people go out and target signs about Jesus Christ and deface them and destroy them? But you have one sign that says, listen, you know what? If you don't want to believe in it, you don't have to. We're here for you. And the sign gets written on or destroyed or cut up, you know, and it's being done by somebody from a religious background. What does that say about that religious background? You're a representative of that religious background. Think twice before you do that kind of crap, people. You want people to show, if you want to show somebody that your religion is something worthwhile, stop behaving in such a manner as to make people not like you, nor your religion.
Yeah, and it's real easy. I mean, the simplest method is just, well, I have to quote it. Wheaton's Law, man. Don't be a dick. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, as much as it might be a no-no to generally speaking say it on the show, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Give everybody else an opportunity, a fair shake, and just, you know, don't be a dick to everybody else. And that goes for the atheists and the humanists and the Cthulhu. What the frick do you call a Cthulhu? Somebody worships Cthulhu. Joe, help me out on this one. What the hell do you call them? Calamarian?
Lovecraftian, I believe.
Sure, I'll go with that. I don't care. Or a Bastist? Or I don't know, a Milkjugian? Who in the hell cares? Just, you know, everybody has the opportunity, in the United States at least, theoretically, to have an equal voice. And if you want to go ahead and have your voice made, hey, sure, you know what, knock yourself out. But the fact that you have just as much freedom to say your stuff as I do doesn't mean that you're allowed to drown me out just because you think that I'm wrong. It's not for you to go ahead and tell people that, you know, I'm not supposed to be listened to. It's for other people to make up their minds, deciding on what they hear and what they investigate after they hear what we've got to say. Well, what's terribly wrong with that?
Freedom from religion and freedom of religion doesn't apply to only one religion or one belief system or one non-belief system.
And that one is the one that you have. And I'm not pointing at you, Tech, because I'm pointing at everyone. Everyone, for some reason, has the thought in their head, somehow or other, that my religion is the right one. Even the atheists, and I'm specifically targeting this one at myself.
Atheists don't have religion.
No. I'm little r religion.
You've got to be careful when you do that, because there are people out there who say atheism is religion, and atheism isn't a religion. Atheism is just a lack of belief in a deity.
Right. Now, okay? that's why I was going to clarify the rest of it all. Like I said, little r religion. And by this, I mean the position on whatever religion should be. Now, an atheist, generally speaking, is going to be fairly convinced that they don't have any reason to move off of the convince me point, the zero point, the null point, the point that says I haven't been given enough to prove one way or the other there is not. Somebody who is...
No, that's agnostic.
No. an atheist is unconvinced one way or the other. Some Gnosticism is, can we know about something? Is God, the nebulous idea of a God, is it something that we can find out about and discern for certain? That's somebody who would be Gnostic. We can find out specifically about. If the question of God is untestable by its very nature, it's immaterial through the methodology that we consider reality now, that it cannot be investigated into, you can't get information on, that's agnostic. Damn it, this is all going to become part of another show. Damn it. I have to make a note for myself that that's something that we have to talk about. We have to talk about terms again. Damn. Because there have been a couple of them that have come up recently in podcasts that I've been listening to that's been annoying me to no end. And Matt Dillahunty, I'm looking at you specifically. Damn it. Yeah, like he's going to be paying attention to me, right? Yeah, anyway. That's not going to happen. Anyway, so where is I going on this one?
I don't know. You tell me.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Oh, the marketplace of ideas is basically what it comes down to. At the Republican convention, national, whatever the hell it was, the American Humanists, I believe is which group it was. I forget which one off the top of my head. But they were basically told, you're not allowed to have a tent here because God. And you're not allowed to pitch up your tent over here. You can attend. We'll take your money and you can attend. But you're not allowed to go ahead and peddle your wares along with everybody else. And I find that to be a gross misuse of authority, because if the point is, damn it, there's so many different pieces about that too. The mixing of religion and politics in the U.S. is a big old pain in the butt, and I think that's part of where I wanted to go on this. Because it seems like the outreach to the citizens of our country has been through the pulpit towards the legislation. And I know a whole bunch of other people got problems with this one, and that's not cool. That's not the way it's supposed to have been. And I don't know where to take that one now. You know, here it is. I've been drinking Tang tonight, and there's actually a reason for it. I'm congratulations to the guys for getting the spacecraft off the ground and into space, the Falcon. But that's later. I really probably should have been drinking wine again. That might have actually helped. So yay, this is going to work out to be just a wonderful all night. And I'm the one who's supposed to be guiding this whole damn thing. Well, crap, this is how it's going to work out. All right,
how about this? Back to it. Secular outreach is definitely something that's necessary, because what you have is you have a tidal wave of people from different religious backgrounds actively targeting, whether directly or indirectly, the people around them wherever they go. You have the famous, you know, the infamous person who drops those wonderful little leaflets all over the bathroom floors, or the sinks, or the hand dryers, or on the toilet themselves when you just really want to go sit down and do your business, and you got all these things laying all over the place. And then you have the other person who goes knocking door to door. You know, you might work the night shift. There was a time in my life I was working night shift, that I would work from 7 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. So when I got home and I went to bed, I didn't need to hear the doorbell ringing. You know, I had curtains over my windows that were designed to block out light, all light, for a reason, so I could go to sleep. You don't need somebody coming on your doorstep and waking you up. You want to go grocery shopping. You don't want to start getting into a theological debate over onions, you know? So you have, anywhere you look, you will find either someone's got a, has either actively gone and addressed somebody, either by pamphlets, talking to them, knocking on their doors, and then you have the non-active stuff, where you have a church maybe every few blocks, depending on what neighborhood or what state you live in. You have, when I go traveling up the East Coast to pick up my son for custody exchanges, there are areas of Pennsylvania where you go and there are all these little signs across the road talking about Yahshua, and then you have crosses, and then you have this, that, and the other thing on various portions of land, and it makes me wonder, is, you know, is that legally allowed to be there? Is this somebody's privately owned property that they're allowed to do this on? Have they paid, you know, is this something that you can pay for to do? It breaks up the scenery a little bit, but then again, I tend to enjoy looking at Mother Nature rather than these theological symbols or statements. I would definitely much rather enjoy the majestic mountains rather than seeing the triple crosses on them. And that's me personally, you know, everybody's different. So secular outreach, humanitarianism outreach, humanism outreach, I definitely think, you know, if we're going to continue to make our mark, if we're going to continue to make sure that people understand that, yes, we are here, we exist, no, we're not going to sit in the corner and quietly, you know, and be quiet while you do all this crap, we have to actively participate as well. But we can do it and not be a dick about it. You know, we put up the occasional road sign. Why is that legal? Well, those road signs are private property. They go through strict laws to where they can be posted, you know, which roads can have them, which roads can't. You know, they pay their fees and taxes, you know, or whatever it is, that so that they can be there. And to get your message up on a sign, you have to adhere to rules of the company that provides the signs in the first place. And then you pay money. You know, it's not publicly paid for by taxes of theists and non-theists alike. You can, you know, at your school, if they're putting up posters saying, hey, listen, you know, we have Bible study after school. Well, you should put up a poster saying, hey, listen, we have logical debate after school. You know, we have a secular society here that we can talk about whatever you want in a friendly environment that's not hostile, and how you feel about things. And nobody here will judge you or tell you that you're, you know, piece of crap.
Except me.
Yeah, well, you're not in high school anymore. So the point is that, you know, religion is starting to feel a little bit of the impact that secular people have had on them by asking the government to reinforce their laws of saying, hey, listen, this is a public environment, or this is a publicly paid for school system. Bibles, Gideon Bibles, should not be handed out during school hours. You know, this is wrong. Either everybody from every religion can come into the school and hand out their material, or nobody can. And that's the way it should be. No, we're not going to teach creationism in science class, because creationism is not a science. It is religion-based,
hocus. It's hocus pocus.
It's hocus pocus. Yeah, yep. You can't prove it. Okay, you cannot prove it using the scientific method.
As a matter of fact, the best part about that is it's already been proven in a court of law that that's exactly what it is. You're listening to and you are watching Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Thank you very much for joining us this evening and hanging out with us. We've got about half an hour left to go with the show this evening, and we are talking about outreach, secular, educational, atheistic outreach. And
even zombie outreach.
It could be that. We could come to that. But
because we don't want to discriminate against zombies.
Well, I mean, haven't we already talked about the Catholics tonight? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that thing? I'm sorry. Anyway.
Oh, I was talking about the Protestants.
Oops. Yeah, well, it's all well and good. So, again, the Q&A system is available. So if you're watching, of course, please, by all means, take advantage of it. Bogey's actually gone ahead and done it. And by the way, thank you. Thank you. We actually do love to get the questions and the comments because it helps fashion how the discussion ends up talking through. And Bogey's putting over here, religion has lost most of its power, but still has a lot of pull on the structures of power, like law enforcement, the judiciary, and the political parties. And that is all too true in the United States especially. And there's a real simple reason for that. And Joe, I'm coming over to you for this one. You, having been trained militarily, if you've got your choice of trying to shoot at somebody who is standing up in a field or dug down in a trench with just their head popping up, which one's an easier one for you to go ahead and get rid of?
Fair point.
Yep. If there's one thing that we've learned over the millennia, religion gets itself interwoven into the civilization, into the structure of society, it becomes damned impossible, damned near impossible to extract from. Now, that's not to say that it can't be done. We've got places like, especially, the Scandinavian region, where it is, where we have 70% Christianity, or better, depending, here in the U.S., it's flipped on its head out over there, where the vast majority is atheistic, secular, with the outliers being some religiously minded group or other. So it's possible to have happen. It's unfortunately just going to end up taking a lot of time, which is a big old pain in the butt. However, there have been some good pieces to go along with that. Now, again, I'm bringing back to the military for you. I assume, Joe, that you had heard about the guy who wanted to reenlist with the Air Force, but was told, you can't change the contract, so we're not going to allow you in. You look like you hadn't heard about this one.
Not really, no. The Air Force, not necessarily my expertise, but...
True.
No, I hadn't actually heard about this one. How recent is it?
Within the last 2 weeks, if I remember right.
Yeah.
What it was is he didn't want to say under God in his oath because he wasn't he was an atheist, I believe, or agnostic, one of the two. The guy didn't want to have to say under God, so he crossed that out on the reenlistment oath.
Yeah.
And they told him before it used to not be a problem. Before it was, you know, if you don't want to say it, you don't want to say it. But somebody got their panties in a twist, and they said, well, if you're not going to say it, we're not going to re-enlist. And
well, I suppose.
Yeah, but now the top brass or whatever they call themselves at the Air Force said, you know what? No, we're not going to make people say it who don't believe in God.
Well, here's the thing. He physically crossed it out on the paper, yes?
Yes, as yes. I understood it.
I don't think it's a matter of somebody was making the note that, oh, you have to say this. I think it was more a matter of you made an abridgment to the contract without authorization.
That was part of it, but the other part was is that he was going to have to say it because that was part of the contract, and he didn't want to have to say that because he didn't believe it. And until there was much pressure brought down upon the Air Force which Pat Robertson lost his shit when the Air Force finally said, you know what, you don't have to say it. But then again, you know, Pat Robertson is insane.
Now, as an official statement, the cast and crew here of Holy Crap the Vlogcast are not medical professionals nor mental health professionals. We cannot go ahead and make a judgment on the course of somebody else's mental ability or instability, as the case may be. That having been said, fucking Pat Robertson, what in the hell is wrong with you? Why don't you have the good grace to just go ahead and die? I'm sorry. Was that out loud? I'm sorry. So help me God. Motto. When you were enlisting, do you remember, did you have that kind of thing for
yes, that was in fact in my oath, and you know, that is not just in the oath of enlistment, but that's also in the oath of citizenship as well. If you are an expatriate of a foreign country coming to the U.S. and becoming a U.S. citizen, when you complete the process and you go to be sworn in by a judge as a U.S. citizen, you know, so help me God is the ending clause of that oath. Now, they don't specify what God, but, you know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to look that up myself, because that would seem rather an odd piece to put in there. But, okay.
Well, it hasn't changed in a long time.
I can well imagine. Oh, wow, there's a lot of them listed over in over Wikipedia now that I'm looking at it. Wow. South Africa, Singapore, United Kingdom, United States. Oh, well, look at that. It's got its whole own separate. Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
One of the big problems is whenever you have something that is military or government, and whether it be an office, a position, any position, whether you're secretary, administrative assistant, whether you're just the guy who flies out on the helicopter pulling the trigger on the minigun, you know, whatever the case might be, whenever you're in one of those, you're in any position, either military or government, the last thing that should be on that person's mind is, well, does my religion say that I can do this? Does my religion? No. You're in a basically a servant's position. You're supposed to be doing what your country needs you to do. That means that when you're elected into a position of office, that you make decisions regarding our electrical infrastructure of our country. Your decision making should be on how to best help lay out, repair, deploy the electrical infrastructure and technologies to better serve the people, not their religious beliefs. Okay? If you are military, you and your commanders and are supposed to be making decisions based upon how to best protect the country, okay, whether foreign or domestic.
Right. And before you go on, that's part of the problem that has happened, and this is something I've heard on many an occasion, and this is kind of part and parcel of what we were just talking about. Once those tendrils wrap around religious, I'm going to use the term control, although the influence. I'm going to use the term influence. Once that influence wraps onto different pieces, really doesn't want to let go, and it becomes because of religion's inclusivity nature. And I'm probably not using the right terminology, so please forgive me. You want to have more people like you in your circles, and in some religious aspects, that's almost a mandate. In some cases, it's actually very much so a mandate. So I can see where that kind of influence gets in there, and those oaths, come into play. Now, I did pull up the Oath of Allegiance that you were making reference to, and you're quite right. It's in there, and obviously we can't use Wikipedia as a complete reference. However, I'm going to use it for the moment because it's real quick and dirty. It says, amongst other things, hereby declare on oath, absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all alliance, blah, 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 blah. And it gets to the very bottom of it all. I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. And you're right, it does end with, so help me God. However, there is a piece at the end of it all as a notation that says, for people who are not religious, the words on oath can be replaced with and solemnly affirm, which is earlier in the piece, and the words so help me God at the end can be omitted. Which says to me, going by, theoretically, the First Amendment, and as Bogey is making reference to Article 4, I think it is, or Section 4, I forget what it is, something like that, that you are not supposed to be tested for a public office by a religious test of any kind.
Now, sadly, there are still 7 states within the U.S. that actually have statement within their legislation that states that if you are a non-believer, that you cannot hold any of the state's public offices.
And we know, of course,
one of those 7 states said, listen, we know it's on the books, but we don't enforce it because we know it's wrong.
Yeah.
They haven't removed it, but they publicly stated that we ignore it.
Yeah, which is another one of those things where, you know, if there's no harm, why do anything about it? But yeah, if push would come to shove, they would just say, you know what, let's just strike it from the books once and for all and be done with it, which, you know, makes sense.
That would be the smart thing to do.
Yeah, well, it would be, but unfortunately, you know, it's money spent on something that, why bother, because it's never going to come up, because we're not going to enforce it.
One of my opinions is I think that right now the only people that should be allowed to hold office in the United States, and I know this goes against our Constitution, are people who don't have a belief in a deity, that they are truly atheist, not anti-theist, but truly atheist. Because when you have a belief, when you have a theism, and when you follow a religion, the majority of the major religions put you in a position of slavery to the religion. I didn't have anything personally against Mitt Romney other than the fact that he was saying a lot of things that his party wanted him to say, so he ended up sounding like a puppet. And I really think that a president should be able to say, yeah, my party endorses this, that, but here's what I'm really about. And Obama, when he first ran, was able to do that. Now, no, I'm not endorsing Obama. I'm just saying the differences. The primary reason I didn't vote for Mitt, and I'm not going to tell you who I did vote for, and no, you probably can't single it out.
No, not going to.
But the main reason I didn't vote for Mitt Romney is because he was Mormon. And here's where that becomes a problem. Mormons believe in a living prophet, and that whatever the living prophet tells them, they must do. Mitt Romney was an active member of his Mormon church. And if he were put in the power of presidency and the Mormon prophet of that time were to call him and say, listen, you're going to be going, a piece of legislation is coming to your desk and the Mormon church doesn't like it, you have the power to veto it, you must veto it, he, under his religious beliefs, would be forced to do so. Whether he acted upon it or not, his religion would force him to. And when he was questioned about his Mormonism, he never truly stated. He tried to tell people that he wouldn't allow his religion to direct his judgment about things to do, but when he started getting asked questions about homosexuality and other topics that his religion would conflict with, he could not give a definitive answer. He could not, he would weasel his way out of every single question, which tells me that he is living by his religion, even at the political level. And that's where he is wrong. Okay. So therefore, I didn't vote for him.
Okay. Now, this becomes interesting because this now takes us back into the 60s when similar questions were put to John F. Kennedy. And it was a question.
That's right, he was Roman Catholic.
That's right. And the questions were coming up. What happens if a Roman Catholic gets into the presidency? Is he going to be beholden to the Pope? And Joe, you might remember a little bit more about this one. Being Roman Catholic yourself, or at least at one point, do you remember vaguely what his overall answer to it all was?
Kennedy's answer? No, actually not off the top of my head.
Okay. Paraphrasing, very highly paraphrasing, he basically said, look, the presidency of the United States is not to be beholden to any other foreign body. My job, if I am president, is to be president of the United States. Period. That is it. And that means that I have to be paying attention to my country. And if the Pope wants to come and visit, that's nice. We'll have a nice chat, but that's not my boss. The American people are my boss. Like I said, I'm very highly paraphrasing, but...
you see, that's the kind of answer... Mitt Romney gave a similar answer, not as cleverly worded, not as eloquently spoken. He said, no, I'm not going to allow my religion to dictate my actions in office should I get in office. But when it came time to ask the hard questions, the ones that an atheist in would either be one way or the other, or be able to give some kind of answer, he couldn't give anything. He just kept weaseling out of the questions.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I think the outreach really needs to be. The idea that a particular group, and just follow me on this a second, the idea that any particular group should be placed in a position of power can always be something that's corrupted. And we know that all too well. And that's not where I've got an issue with. Where I would have an issue would be the idea that any group, no matter which group it might be, if appointed, are not representative of the populace as a whole. And that's a whole discussion for later about elections, democratically elected groups, the Greeks? I'm trying to remember if it was the Greeks that had the lottery system for who was representatives and such. I vaguely remember something about this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where it was just a blind lottery, and you were picked out of the lottery, well, it was your turn for that year, or whatever the hell it was. Which works interesting. It's a little bit better than, well, not exactly better than playing the Powerball, but hey, you know, $178 million, that'd be really nice to give to NASA, don't you think? It's just me, whatever. I like that idea. Anyway, we've got a little bit more time before we get on out of here, so... Anybody who's watching at this point, which it doesn't look like there's many, never really is, if you have any last-minute questions, please, by all means, take advantage of the Q&A system. There is a last piece about the outreach thing that I want to kind of touch on. And normally I would try using the screen-sharing system, but because the size of the pictures that I've got are not great, I'm not going to use them. It's a collection of pictures of billboards that have gone up over the however much long it's been. I couldn't even tell you. I couldn't find a listing for how long it's been back. But there are a number of billboards that have gone up that have been disturbing, shall we say. One of which has it's a white background with part of an American flag on one corner, and it says this: "Attention, lunatic atheists and their lawyers." Nice starting off point right there. Anti-God is anti-American. Anti-American is treason. Traitors lead to civil war. And apparently this one was posted by, because it's got a thing at the bottom for, a reverend out in West Virginia. Another one.
Nice guy.
Yeah, another one with a picture of Charles Darwin on one side. Starts off with big block letters, atheist. Someone who believes that nothing made everything. Continuing, another one with a kid giving the heart salute to the flag. Why do atheists hate America?
Really?
Another one with rainbow lettering. Homosexuality is not a family value. Homosexuality is a sin. Giving a Bible verse to check into and a phone number for more information. A picture of a very hair-bedraggled Ted Kaczynski, some people might recognize the name, known as the Unabomber. And next, what it says in big letters, I still believe in global warming, do you? And finally, one from an interesting group, and this one is a little bit different. No black.
Wait. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Just for those of you who are listening, especially those of you who are religious, what that last sign with the Ted Kaczynski saying, I believe in global warming, you know, and somebody else going, well, do you, you know, addressing whoever's reading the billboard, do you, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make you defer by association. So let's say for a moment that Hitler.
Oh, hold on.
Wait.
Yeah, because believe it or not, I'm actually going to wrap that into all of them.
Okay.
I know exactly where you're going, and you're exactly right. But,
well, do you know what flavor of ice cream I was going to use, though?
Vanilla.
Chocolate.
Whatever. You know what? Screw you. I don't care. You know what? I'll have whatever the Amish Wolverine isn't having, okay? How's that? I got it in this time. Screw you.
I think that's... it's...
Rainbow flavored. Anyway.
Walnut evolution flavored?
Sure. The last one is the interesting one. No blacks allowed until 1978. No gays allowed currently. Shame on Mormonism. Now, believe it or not, these have all got something going for them together. They are all putting expectations, cultural expectations, on the person that is reading them here, especially in the United States. Going back a little bit, Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, basically a domestic terrorist, and putting words into his mouth, asking you, do you agree with someone who is a domestic terrorist? Homosexuality. Well, it's whatever it is, and we think that it's wrong, and so should you, because our book says so.
That's nice.
Exactly. Why do atheists hate America? Well, now that's the same kind of question as, so when did you stop beating your wife? It's the same thing. Atheist, someone who believes that nothing created everything, already puts a false premise into somebody's head as to what these people believe, which is incorrect. And the guy using inflammatory words to start off with, lunatic atheists and their lawyers. the whole point of this whole damn thing is, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to use language, wow, I give you all credit. You're using language as a bludgeon. Well done, the whole bunch of you. Because you're getting a point across in such a fashion that it is exceedingly difficult to have people actually say, you know what, you're wrong, because it would take a monumental amount of energy to completely discredit something that you just blithely threw out there with no care whatsoever to the people that you're harming in your wake. Now, the last one that I made mention to, no blacks allowed, no gays allowed, shame on Mormonism. Believe it or not, that one was from atheists.org. And this is where that one becomes different, because it's stating it out accurately. Is it still putting the onus of the reader to really make heads or tails out of it correctly? Yes. But at the same time, they're citing properly when all is said and done. They're letting you know, it's the Mormons we're talking about. These are the dates for when these things have happened, or not happened, as the case may be. But at least they're going ahead and they're stating out, this is what's going on. And Bogey, you're exactly right. They are loaded questions. They are loaded leading questions. They are straw men. They are poisoning the well. They are ad hominem. There are all kinds of logical fallacies that are just a big old pain in the ass to have to deal with. Joe, you've been looking like you're ready to go ahead and chomp on this one. Be my guest. You know what? Fine, screw you. I'm going to go ahead and take it right on back.
You go right ahead, because I'm just...
He's tired.
Well, it's partly a matter of tired, yeah, but somehow or other, I still think that even with the tired, that you're basically just internally even shaking your head and just going, seriously, what the frick? You are in graphic design. You are learning about how to get a point across, how to make your statement out. You know how this stuff works.
And, you know, as much as it pains me to admit to it, I have seen in my own school, you know, for school projects, students submitting things very much of that nature. Like, okay, final project of one of the last classes that I had was designing an infographic. This is, you know, designing a pie chart or some sort of quantitative data put into visual format, as opposed to qualitative data, which, you know, that would be trying to send one particular message across emphatically. That's what we call qualitative data. That's, you know, making, say, a painting that is supposed to evoke a particular emotion in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Infographics are different. They're quantitative data. We're giving you lots and lots of different factoids, trying to imprint lots and lots of different pieces of information onto you without a particular focus on one. I mean, there's a general theme to them, obviously, but we're trying to educate you over a broader spectrum. I actually had to walk out of the class because one of the students who submitted their infographic had done theirs on reasons that homosexuality is wrong. And I wish I could say that they at least took it from a secular point of view, but they didn't.
So I've heard it described this way. If you have a problem with, and I'm kind of paraphrasing, if you have a problem with homosexuality at this point, is either one of three reasons. Either because personally you think it's ick, because your holy book and people around it say it's ick, or you secretly are hoping dick doesn't taste that good, or something to that effect. I forget exactly what it is. But so your person had stuff that was just blatantly just poorly worded out, shall we say?
You've seen the little, and I made mention of these before the show, but the little signs that kids have been posting up on stuff like Facebook and Twitter and such, where they have a little sign with marker on it, saying, you know, various slogans or psalms or whatever. Denouncing homosexuality and same-sex marriage and such. No.
I don't recall off the top of my head. I'm figuring you're kind of looking stuff up, too.
Well, allow me to find an example.
Well, while you're doing that, I want to address something that Bogey just stated. Bogey stated that there is no secular point of view where homosexuality is wrong. That's actually incorrect. I have actually heard a secular view about homosexuality being wrong in terms of not so much the emotional, but in terms of the physical, in terms of man on man, and in terms of the damage that can be done to the person. Not through rough practices, but through the act itself over time, is called a prolapsed anus. Apparently what happens is that if there is too much penetration and too much stretching of the rectum in a person's later life, later years, they have the chance, it's not a given, okay, it's not a guaranteed happening, but it does open a person up to the statistical probability that their the ring on the sphincter that contracts to keep everything closed up when it's supposed to be won't be able to. It's taken too much damage over time, and part of the membrane that's supposed to stay inside actually hangs out. And that's called prolapsation, or more prolapsed anus. The other damage that can happen is from too much penetration, getting into the thick of it, basically getting not taking enough care. And what happens is if the prostate gets impacted too many times and too often, well, it's like a football player who takes too many blows to the head. They get microconcussions. This is basically what's happening to the prostate, and it's taking damage over time, and it can actually fail or have reduced functionality. So in terms of just that alone, you could say that homosexuality, at least in men, who engage in full penetration, is wrong because of the medical, the possibilities for medical, negative medical side effects. But okay, as the emotional aspect, you're right. There is no secular point of view where the love of another human being is wrong. It's the only case that a secular person could make is on the physical act and depends on the act itself.
Okay, you do understand, of course, that that is riding a really, really thin line.
Yes.
Between working and not working argument.
Right, because the case I just made was for homosexuality in the sexual act of men engaging in full penetration where the danger lies. But if they're not doing full penetration, or if the woman who's not, is, or it's two women who are not penetrating each other, where does the physical harm lie at that point? Well, I don't have a case for that. So, like, I agree with you, Susan. It is a thin line, but there is a case. It's a small case. There are statistics behind it. There's medical evidence behind it. But it's you're talking about a small risk depending on the actions that are taken.
Is that coming up, Robert?
I'm going to take a look at that in just a second, full screen. But I want to make sure that we all understand that what we're talking about is a possible, maybe, argument that could be made.
Yeah.
I don't think that the argument is nearly good enough.
But yeah,
it is definitely one that could be explored, and I'm willing to look into that one a little bit further, a little bit later. I don't agree with it yet.
Yeah.
But
I don't expect you to take my word for it. This is something that I've learned through. I spend a lot of time on Reddit, and I see a lot of articles. I see a lot of postings, and so I'll go around and look on websites, scientific websites, religious websites, medical websites, trying to figure out, does this person know what they're talking about, or are they full of shit? And,
okay.
Well, that's two. So I used up the S words twice so far.
Okay. We'll look further into that. Tech, we're running out of time, so we'll look into this one a little bit more for later. Let's see what it is that Joe's got, and I'm getting a black screen for you, Joe. It's kind of flickering in and out.
How about now?
Still doing it.
Okay, never mind then.
Sorry.
Yeah, this damn thing never works. Anyway. Okay,
so, quick.
As I was going to say, they used a number of both what could be argued as secular and, you know, religious arguments. Everything from what Tech was just explaining to the fact that, you know, two beings of the same gender can't procreate unless, of course, you know, they're hermaphrodites. But
you know,
it was very reminiscent of this meme that's been going around on the internet of these protesters holding up little sketchbook signs with little slogans written on them. Like, for example, the one that I was just showing was this of a girl holding up one that said, "I can't be a queen without a king." And another one is a guy holding up one saying, "Because it's against God's law."
Okay, before we go any further, I have to make mention about this one. I can't be a queen without a king. I think Freddie Mercury could tell you differently, but that's
well,
a whole issue for later.
You see, here's the thing. George Takei.
Oh, no.
Shot back with his own signs, to which his sign to her read as follows: "Many queens I know would agree with you." And to the wonderful little fellow wearing the leather and cotton hoodie, holding up "because it's against God's law and a deadly sin," he replies, "So is wearing a cotton and leather hoodie, Leviticus 19:19.
And that's one of the best pieces that we can get to closing out on.
Oh, wait. There is one last one.
Last one.
The young girl who held up the sign, "Because we as young people need parents for so many things, and men and women make the people they produce, I guess I can say, oh God, there's terrible alliteration here. I like that, and if you put all the guys on one island, they won't last long because you need one woman and one man." To which George, with a wink, replies, "Please tell me where this island of men is. Thanks."
Oh my.
And of course, we will not make any reference to Scott Manley right about now, so we'll kind of go with this. Tech, how would you like to wrap up for tonight?
I want to wrap up by revisiting the argument that I made about homosexuality being wrong. That was me making an example, the only example I could think of, of trying to make that statement truthful. It's not actually my position.
Yeah,
I want people to understand that what you do in your bedroom is between you and your partner. Okay, as long as it doesn't involve children of underage of consent. Okay, I don't care what you do. That's you and your partner. That's two consenting adults. You know, if it has long-term repercussions later on down the road, hopefully you understand that and you've taken precautions. That's all I can say. What you do is your own thing, and I don't give a damn. However, I will never, ever reinforce legislation or vote to reinforce legislation that will tell you whether what you're doing is right or wrong, or whether you can or cannot get married or any of that, because what you do with your life is your own decision. Just like I expect you to respect my decisions. Am I gay? No, not that I know of. I'm single, but that's a life choice I've chosen at this point in my life. Do I ever plan on getting married again? Nope. That means if I want to live under the roof of with a woman and have sex and we're not married, I expect you to respect that decision. You know, don't go sneaking into my bedroom saying, oh, we got to bless you and we got to get the sin out and all that, because I will kick your ass out of the house.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
I'm just sitting here picturing that scenario.
Yeah, well, that scenario should have many sharp pointy objects as well as a bow staff that I know how to use very well.
Fair enough. With that, good night, Tech. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Fun to be here.
Joe, what would you like to wrap up on? I know I'm kind of doing it backwards from what I usually would, but yeah, screw it.
On the note of what Tech said, you know, do I claim to be straight? No. Do I claim to be gay? No. Last I checked, I haven't had sex in a good long time, so your guess is as good as mine. But at no point does anyone else's sexual preference affect me. Unless, of course, there's a case of rape, in which, you know, bad. But, you know, what two people do on their own time in their own home, as long as they're not hurting anyone, it's none of my business. And I see absolutely no reason why a man and another man should not be allowed to enjoy an emotional and financially devastating divorce.
See, like a whole other time, man, I knew where you were going to be going. I just didn't know how you were going to get there. That's all.
On that note, I didn't mean for this to turn into something on the whole homosexuality thing, but it was the proselytizing that we were discussing before, and
yeah,
it just kind of led to that. Yeah, I it was the only example that I had at hand, and it kind of snowballed into that realm. Sorry.
I don't think we should talk about it snowballs at the same time.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. It's been fun. Y'all have a wonderful evening and week. I will not be here next week. I will be taking a short trip. So that's it.
With any luck, you'll actually be catching up on your sleep too.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. Now, before I go ahead and close this out over here, I want to make a quick explanation for why I decided to pull out all of those billboards. There are various versions of these billboards all over the place. There are some that specifically espouse for different churches, different religions, some that say the end is nigh, and we'd seen those a couple of years ago, thanks to whatever the heck his name is, the guy that looked like a friggin' mummy still warmed over. We've seen people who've gone out and talked up a good storm. We see them in public centers yelling and screaming with their Bible, telling college kids who are singing songs of peace and love that they're going to hell because, well, they don't believe the same as what they do. And these are the moments, these are the places where secular, skeptical outreach, education, is most needed. An opportunity to tell people, look, you wanted to come over and explain to me the good word of the religion that you follow. Hey, cool, great, wonderful. But I'm going to specifically use terms in front of your impressionable little young life to get them to think about stuff later. Atheist is a powerful word. It holds a lot of baggage, especially for groups that specifically say they're wrong, they're evil, they're mean, they are unpatriotic. You should never listen to them. Secular humanist. Well, I don't even know what that is, so don't. You shouldn't even follow along with that.
That would be a bit of a that would be a bit of a catch 22, wouldn't it?
No.
Well, in my case, because if I'm unpatriotic for being an atheist, then how does that explain the 8 years of service that I gave to my country in the military?
It was all a lie. It was a cake.
However, the point of it is...
Please don't shoot me.
The point of it is... Actually, believe it or not... God, I can't believe I'm going to tell you this now. We are going to end up having a discussion soon about a specific type of bullet. But I'll tell you guys about that off the air. Because reasons. Anyway, the point of it is... There are times when people will be listening, and it's usually when they're not the ones directly involved with an argument. And an argument could be actual yelling and screaming back at each other, which doesn't really do anybody any good. An argument could be just sitting down, having a discussion, and being completely civil. But there's people listening because they're interested to hear what's being said. They may not agree with it, but they're interested to hear what's being said. If you're in that position, you know that there are going to be people listening, especially on the internet. There's always somebody listening because somebody's always wrong on the internet. And some people can't let it go.
Let it go.
Be mindful. Be mindful of what you say. Be mindful of how you say it. Because what you say and how you say may come back later in dividends of, you know, you were talking about blah. What did you mean by that? An open door is not an invitation to walk through it. An open door is an invitation to talk. When you get that opportunity, use it. Be mindful of how you sound, what you say. Don't rag down somebody else. Talk up who you are. And that goes for anyone who happens to be a theist, or an atheist, a secular humanist, or a Baha'i. It doesn't really much matter what you are. Don't be a dick. Talk up who you are. Show your good points. And if somebody has questions about them, talk them up. Don't drag somebody else down to make yourself look good. Because if somebody's interested to find out the answers, the least you can do is show them enough courtesy, enough respect to tell them what is. Because if you can't show somebody that much courtesy, that much respect, they're not going to bother later. They're going to paint you and everyone else of your ilk with a big old brush. And nobody needs that. Thank you for joining us this evening. We hope that you found something worthwhile out of it all. We will be back again in a week, which is going to put us on September 28th. And I'm going to go ahead and call it now and say that next week's show, we're going to be talking about defining terms again. Every once in a while this comes up because there are phrases that get used over and over and over again that may be completely and utterly accurate, but they do nothing to forward on the understanding. And really, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing these over and over and over again, because it's just too much of a pain in the neck. If you'd like to be joining us on air sometime, please be aware. We will be discussing that and bringing up the opportunity for you guys on a Power of 10 show, which is every 10th episode, because those are the not safe for work shows. And so long as you are over 18, we can see about having you come on. Hope that you guys enjoy yourselves and you find something worthwhile in what we do. And if you have enjoyed, please leave us some kind of a message. Let us know. If you would like to leave a voicemail for us, the phone number is here on the screen for you. That number is 959-HCTV 554. Yes, there is a story behind all of those numbers, but we'll talk about that later. If you'd like to send me a message for whatever, you can send it to shujinchirbo@gmail.com and just put holy crap in the subject line so I know that it's specifically to do with the show. And finally, I want to send my, on behalf of all of us, good wishes and hopes to the guys over at Ask an Atheist. They're right now holding their streamathon, and I'm going to see about popping over on them for a little bit and hanging out with them. If you'd like to join them and help them out, they are accepting donations while they're moving from one radio station to another. Yes, they're on actual broadcast radio, believe it or not, and syndicated. So, thank you. We have had Sam Mulvey on before, and again, I'm going to see about having him on sometime in the near future. Otherwise, in the meantime, thank you again for your time. And, of course, as always, after saying my goodnights for all of you, I say my goodnights for my lady, too. Because even 9.5 years on, I am still in love. Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the next time we get together, everyone, take care of yourselves, and of course, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.